Good morning, TNC family, on this final Sunday in January. Today is going to be sort of shorter than normal and simpler than normal because I want to share with you today from the scriptures just two words. One word that you need to hear when your life is going well, and sometimes life will go well. And then another word, a different word that you need to hear when things in your life seem stuck or even worse, like they're falling apart. And sometimes things will feel that way too. So two words today. And first, what you need to hear when things are going great. When you're in a friendship circle of honesty and faithfulness and fun, when you are a parent or a grandparent, aunt or uncle, and your kids, grandkids, nieces, and nephews are thriving, when you are an employee and your salary is growing, when you're a scientist making real progress on that discovery or application, when you're an athlete playing on a winning team, even better, being the one to score the goal or hit the shot or drive in the winning run on the winning team. When you are a game player and you win the board game, win the team trivia competition, win the video game. When you're a reader and you're really enjoying a book, when you're a gardener and the work is rewarding and the flower or bush is blooming or your crop is ready for harvest. When you're a teacher or a doctor or a nurse and those you serve are learning and growing and finding health and wholeness and on and on. Here is the word that the scriptures call us to when things are going great. Give. That's the word. Give. And specifically, the scriptures call us to give three things. Let's talk about them. First, give thanks. Give thanks because everything you are enjoying in this season is linked to a giver. You are in this good season because you met somebody or were hired by somebody or somebody gave you the opportunity, somebody saw something in you, someone came alongside you to support you or assist you or teach you or encourage you. Somebody answered your phone call that day you were discouraged or needed to bounce off that idea. I read an interview recently with author and theologian Neil Plantinga Jr. He has his PhD from Princeton Theological Seminary and is currently president emeritus at Calvin Theological Seminary. He's 76 years old and just published a book called Under the Wings of God, 20 Biblical Reflections for a Deeper Faith. And he was talking and he said that in his life, he's come to see that one of the most important questions anyone can ask themselves in life is, what do you have that you did not receive? What do you have that you were not given? His answer, nothing. Because everything you have been given. There's no way you achieved anything all on your own, including things as simple as how to speak a language, how to read a book, how to tie your shoe, how to drive a car, including the reason you eat food, drink clean water, wear clothes, have a roof over your head, including the reason you can breathe a breath of life and take a step with your working feet. The list is endless. And if you are in a good place, TNC, I promise you someone or something helped you get there. You simply cannot talk about who you are or where you are without talking about the role others played in shaping and determining who you are. So, when things are going great, and sometimes things will, give thanks. Throw a Thanksgiving meal like in the middle of February. Write a thank you letter to a family member. Send a thank you text to a friend. Sing praises to God at church with full voice. As the psalmist writes, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And as James, the brother of Jesus, reminds us in his letter, chapter 1 and verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. When things are going great, give. Give thanks. And then number two, when things are going great, give some away. Whatever you are blessed with in this season, find a way to share it. And this goes all the way back to God's covenant with Abraham in Genesis. You are blessed so that you can be a blessing. You are given so that you can give it away. Jesus in the New Testament, not surprisingly, often talks about this, and consistently he talks about this, sharing about generosity, about giving some away from all your blessings. And what's surprising, maybe, is he doesn't say be generous because it's a socially good thing and promotes the general welfare of society, although it does. And he doesn't say be generous because it's the right thing to do, although it is. And he doesn't say be generous out of gratitude for what you have, although that's a good reason. And he doesn't say be generous because it's a good strategy to continue to increase your own good season of joy, even though generosity is linked in study after study to increasing your own joyful life, your own long life, your own healthy life. Give some away, Jesus teaches, for a whole nother reason. Do good, live generously for another reason. Luke chapter 6, quote, because God is kind and generous to you. Because God is good, even to people who are unthankful and wicked. That's the reason Jesus gives. And so, in one way, you might ask yourself, how much do you want to be like Jesus? Because the more generous you are, the more you're becoming like Jesus. So, when things are going great, give some away. Give some time away. Give some money away. Give some wisdom away. Give some grace away. Give it away. First, if you're in a good season, TNC, give thanks. Second, give some away. And finally, when things are going great, give it some time, because it will not last forever. And now I'm not trying to wreck your party or find an island of bad amid oceans of good, but sometimes there is a danger, which is we can feel too high, too awesome, too significant, too powerful, and sometimes a season of good can lead us to selfishness or false confidence and pride or arrogance and entitlement. And so the scriptures have some very clear wisdom for folks who are in a season of good. Genesis chapter 3, from dust you came, and to dust you shall return. Psalm 103, your days are like grass, as a flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower falls off. This is why the writer of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 reminds us, there is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. And then the writer goes on to list things like, there are seasons physically, mentally, spiritually, relationally, financially, academically. Which means that the season you are in right now, this good season, it will not be a season that you are in forever. Including, the writer of Ecclesiastes says, there is a time to be born and a time to die. Which reminds me of a practice in the Roman era when a Roman general would win a battle. You can read about this in multiple places, including in award-winning historian Mary Beard's 2007 publication called Roman Triumph. Listen to this. Listen, she writes, among other things, an account of the triumphs of Pompey the Great, and says that for a general winning a victory in that era, he would be clothed in a scarlet toga, wear a laurel crown, proclaiming that, at least for that moment, he was essentially divine. He would ride in on a chariot led by four horses. In front of him would go his most glamorous and most significant prisoners to show the greatness of his victory. And sometimes at the end of this procession, they would be executed. His victory meant their death. And then there was music and there was art to celebrate his victory, and folks would line the streets and they would roar and cheer, and the ceremonial procession could span the course of a day. Beard writes about how there was not a more coveted honor than this triumphant procession, where the general was idolized, viewed as divine by his troops and the public alike, and he would arrive at a temple of Jupiter to show his godlike status. But then this, behind him in that procession all day long, would walk a slave who would whisper into his ear two words, memento mori. Remember, you are mortal. Remember, you will die. Remember, O great victor, that as glorious as your season appears in the moment, you are but dust, and give it some time and your life will end. In TNC, when things are going really well, those are good words to remember. It would be a very good thing in our day if people sitting in positions of power, executive chairs on top of massive wealth, or in Washington, D.C., would just simply remember they're mortal, that our days are like dust. What you need to hear when things in your life are going great, just one word, give. Give thanks. Give it away, and give it time, for you are mortal. Okay. Now, what you need to hear when things seem to be falling apart, and sometimes things will feel that way. And here there's just one word too, and the one word on this is the word take. Take. And again, I want to mention three things, all starting with the word take. So number one, when you are in a season when things aren't going well, number one, take the longer view. Take the longer view of life. There's an ancient story of a poor farmer who was given a horse. That's great news, his neighbors say. But the farmer replies, good news, bad news, who can say? And the farmer takes his limited resource and he buys a plow instead of hand tools for his growing season, since he has a horse that can pull the plow now. And he anticipates his best harvest ever. But the horse soon runs away. That's bad news, his neighbors say. The farmer replies, good news, bad news, who can say? And after several days, the horse comes back and brings another horse with him. Great news, the neighbors say. And the farmer gives the second horse to his son, who rides it, but then is thrown and badly breaks his leg. Bad news, the neighbors say. But 2 weeks later, the emperor's men come to the village and take away every able-bodied young man to fight in a deadly war, and every son in that village is killed, but the farmer's son is spared, and the story ends. Because we must be careful that we don't tell our story too soon. I'm saying, I think here's the lesson of that story. Don't describe a chapter in your life like it's the entire story of your life. Because if you tell your story too soon, sometimes you'll prematurely make conclusive statements about your story before it's actually complete. And when you do that, what you'll do is you'll often over-focus on your current success or current problem, which will lead you to either complacency or defeat, rather than provide you with curiosity or perseverance you need to move forward. Let me give you one example from the sphere of your finances, and I think you'll be able to apply this principle in any area. The financial expert Dave Ramsey, he often talks about the difference between a snapshot and a film strip. And he says, too many people see their money in a snapshot, when it's really a film strip. Because in the next frame, he says, it will either get better or get worse. And then the frame after that, it will either get better or worse than the frame before. And then he says, 3, 4, 5 years from now, we are actually all likely to be okay if you simply make good decisions in your current snapshot. You may not be able to control the cost of meat or eggs or gasoline today, but you can control if you take an extra job. You can control if you cut your budget on a bunch of things that are not necessities. What you can control, he says, is maybe you don't go on that vacation right now. What I can control, he says, is anything within my control. And if you control what you can control, you will create margin in your next frame, and the film strip will tell a different story than the snapshot did. Now, I think that's hugely helpful, TNC, because listen, this means we should be far more interested in our current trajectory than with our current situation. We should be far more concerned about our current trajectory than our current situation, especially if right now you feel like you're buried in some challenge or grief or season of scarcity. If you take a snapshot of your life and the snapshot is, hey, this is a hard season, then please understand your word is take the longer view. Number two, take my hand. This is something parents often say to young children before crossing the street or walking through a crowd. It's what two friends might say when they experience joy or a prayer together or fear together. It's what folks do at hospital beds. Because when you're going through a tough season or an important season, the best thing is to not go through it alone. To have friends in your corner and on your sideline and in your dugout and on your bench and blocking for you and setting screens for you and giving you the perfect assist and bunting you over. And of course, this is the comfort that God promises through the prophet Isaiah, that he will give us his hand. Chapter 43 and verse 2, this is what the Lord says, he who created you and he who formed you, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. The flames will not set you ablaze, because you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you. TNC, when you are in a tough season, do not go through it alone. Take a hand. Number one, take the longer view. Number two, take a hand. And number three, take heart. Take heart. And these, you may know, are the words of Jesus, recorded in John chapter 16. He's with his friends, he's sharing wisdom and love and counsel, and he says, verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Take heart. And now I think of a time in Jesus' life when that's all he was able to do. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane in the hours before his death. And he's in a place where crowds are not cheering him on. He's alone. He's facing a tough road ahead. And at Gethsemane, he prays one last time to his Father. And the voice that has spoken words of encouragement and love to him his whole life long. Words that have been said to him, you are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. I am with you always. Now gives him a different word. Now tells him that he will have to take a final walk in defeat and humility to a place called Golgotha, where he will sacrifice his life. But in that season, I believe God whispers, but take heart. Because in 3 days, you'll see that your current season isn't your final season. For when you die on a cross, it will not be your end. And TNC, in our moments, in our seasons of defeat or pain or struggle, too often we race around acting like this is our only opportunity. And so we engage in shallow relationships or frantic schedules or preoccupied souls, jealous of folks who we think are winning in that season, and forgetting that ultimately, the game of life is not won by being smarter or faster or getting elected or by having more. It's by surrender and trust in the one for whom death is not a barrier. As Paul reminds us so powerfully in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So maybe things are going great in your life right now, and you are rocking it. You're moving from strength to strength, and folks are showering you with praise and promotions, and you're doing awesome. And if that's you in this season, then hallelujah, yay, awesome, give. Give thanks. Give some away, and give it some time. Memento mori. And maybe things are not going great. They're hard and dark, and you're going through a loss or a hurt or a season of struggle. And if that's you in this season, then remember, take the longer view, take a hand, and take heart. Because even if your circumstances do not turn around, and they may not, or they may not for a while, then take heart, for we love and serve and place our trust in one who has overcome the world. Let's pray. God, I pray now for every person listening. I pray that they would know that no matter what season they are in, there really is authentic joy and comfort and perspective available that comes from trusting in your wisdom and your presence and your love. God, we give you thanks today. Thanks for this church. Thanks for every good gift that we experience. Thanks for our families and for our friends who love us so deeply. And we take your hand today, trusting in you, that we can take heart, for you have overcome the world. Now, TNC, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. Turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.